Ask you a question this morning. I want you to be real truthful and answer this question. What are you living for? And I've been hearing it in my spirit, this phrase, what is life all about? What is this whole thing all about? What are you living for? And the next question after that is, what would you die for? And be honest, don't lie. What are you living for, and what would you die for? Because I want you to know something, that whatever you're living for is what you will die for. Whatever you live for eventually will be what you die for, or what you die in. Whatever you're living in will be what you die in. Why do you say that, Brother Rod? Because what you live for, you know, when you live for something, what you live for, it will cause you to sacrifice yourself for that thing. You're going to die to something. Do you know that? You're going to die to self for the thing that you believe in. If you play soccer, guess what? You're going to die to yourself and get up out of the bed and go to soccer practice, right? If you're a musician, you're going to live for your music. A lot of musicians live for their music, but they also die for their music, meaning that when other people are out doing other things, they're practicing or they're fellowshipping in that thing that they believe in. What you live for will be what you die for. And many people are living and dying for things, and they're making decisions. You are living. You lived this last week. What you're living in this week, what you lived in this last week, is what you're going to die in. And people go about life living day by day, letting weeks go by, days go by, months go by, and years go by without really figuring out what they're doing with their life, what they're accomplishing. Everything we get, do you know it's a gift from God? And you have to think, what did I do with that gift from God? Did I use it on myself? Did I use it to bless somebody else? You can have a nice car, and you know that car that you have? You can use it for the glory of God. How do you use that car for the glory of God? You can take somebody to church. You can pick somebody up on the wayside when the Holy Spirit leads you. Using your life, your gifts, your abilities, your finances, your mind, your heart, your spirit, for the glory of God. Because what you live for is what you'll die for. How can you find out what you're living for? Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your time? What are you thinking about right now? Usually the things on your head, the thought that you won't let go, is what you're living for. Anybody ever had try to do one thing and another thing was knocking on your door? There are certain people that can't get away from bills. You know, they're so caught up in debt. So caught up in debt, and they can't get out of things. They can't even think straight without a thought of a bill knocking them on the back of their head. You know what that is? That's called living for something. To where you can't even think straight. Listen, Jesus tells us this in John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I tell you to do. Well, I tell you what, how many of you love to live? Anybody love to live? How many of you glad that you're still walking around today, that you realize that life is a precious gift from God? Well, Jesus said, no greater love hath any man than this, that he would use his life for his friend. Now, I want you to realize something. How many think that Jesus was a pretty important person? How many believe that Jesus was an important person? What Jesus had to say was important. I want you to look at something. The first thing Jesus said to his people When he met those that he really came to his people, right? His disciples, to those that would follow him, right? And usually the most important, everybody likes to mark the first thing somebody says, meaning that's very important. First time you met your wife, you remember probably the first thing that person said. Or the first line your husband said the first time he met you. The first time you meet your friends. What are the first things people say? The law of first mention is very important. Well, when Jesus came into contact with his disciples, which we should be, this is the first thing he said. He said, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, I tell you what, that's about the first command that Jesus made to the disciples when he first met them, or the first thing he told somebody what to do. Right there, he said, listen, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. So the first thing Jesus said, he said, listen, follow me, and I will make you rich. Is that what he said the first thing when he found a disciple? Follow me, and I'll take all your problems away. He does those things, right? Follow me and you'll see great and mighty works. No, you'll see mighty works, but he didn't say that. And so many times we as Christians, charismatic, Holy Ghost filled people, we miss the mark. And we forget what the whole thing is all about. He said, listen, you follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. And that's what it's all about. Now you might get blessed in doing it. Actually, you should be blessed in doing it. But you're blessed to be a blessing. Jesus is trying to make you a fisher of men. That's what it's all about. He said, come and follow me, and this is what I want to do to you. See, people miss it. They catch the follow thing, but they don't know what they're following. They don't even know where they're going. He's calling you to follow him that you might be effective to bless somebody else. That was the first thing he said to the disciples. So that is what? Most important. Somebody say, the first thing he said was follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. And what was the last thing he said? The first thing he said, follow me and I'll make you the fisher of men. But then the last thing he said, in case they forgot what it was all about, he said it in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world. This is the last thing he said before he ascended to the Father. If you want to go back to the basics, if you want to get back to what it's all about, he said, go ye into all the world. So the first thing he said, come follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. That's the first thing he said to them. Then the last thing he said to them, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said, listen, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It was the first command was, I will make you fishers of men. The second command, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believed not shall be what? Either saved or what? Saved or damned. See, people forget that. I mean, there's no options. Either be saved by following Jesus Christ and living the life of faith or be damned. I mean, there's a time clock on the earth today. All these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they, who were they? Those that he said, come and follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, right? And those people, and they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them. God working with them. And confirming the word with signs and wonders. What are you living for? What are you dying for? What is your relationship with Jesus Christ all about? Is it centered around what you want in your head? I mean, is it centered around what you can't get? What is your relationship with Jesus Christ based on? What did he call you for? Is he going to call you for anything less than he called the originals? I mean, he called Peter that way, James that way. He said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But oh boy, we today, he calls us differently. We'll get all the blessings that they had, but he calls us differently. See, we get called with no responsibility. They had a calling with responsibility, but today we think there is no responsibility to our call. One of the most important things that we have to find out that here, when he said, come after me in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, he said he saw them casting a net, and his brother were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Listen, you're not going to be a fisherman until you throw your net away. You got to get rid of your net. The word today is get rid of your net. Get rid of your net, your supply, your source. Well, see, that net before meant the way that they took care of themselves, the way they thought about things, the way they handled their stuff. They made their living by their net. But when Jesus came into their life, he affected their net. And we are not living in the abundance of what God tells us to live in today. We're not seeing the things that they saw today. Why? Because we are still living out of our own nets. We tried to follow Jesus dragging a big boat in the net behind us. And wonder why we can't go far. Wonder why we can't do those things. The first thing before you follow, you got to have faith enough not to trust in yourself. You're not going to be able to trust in God until you learn to distrust your own self a little bit. I know that sounds really crazy, but you got to learn that God is your source, that you can do all things through relationship with him. And without him was nothing made, and anything's going to be made in your life, it's got to be made in union with Jesus Christ. Don't live for anything that God can't be included in. It's all right to leave your net if there's a God. See, a lot of people don't leave the net because they're not sure there's a God out there someplace. So they keep hanging on the net. He'll show up to the point that you let him manifest himself. Casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they did what? Left their nets and followed him. I'll follow you, Jesus, but I'm going to have me a backup someplace. You know, I'm going to take me some cab money. You know, anybody went on, you know, some of you women go out on dates with people you don't know about, and they said, well, I'll go with you, but I'm going to have me some taxi cab money too. Let me run to the bathroom real quick. But leaving the net is what it's all about. And every once in a while, people get caught up. When things don't go well, they run right back to the net and start mending. How many net people, how many net Christians do we got out there? So he finds these disciples and says to them, listen, go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. See, this is for supernatural living people. Hallelujah. We might as well go on and get there. These are for people that really want to live it. Hallelujah. These are people that really want to live those things. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. I can do. How many are having some problems getting some stuff done, getting some stuff accomplished? Well, see, first of all, thank God some of you can't get some things accomplished because you don't know what you're living for yet. It's a sad thing to see people that have foolish agendas, minds that aren't renewed by the word of God, accomplish things. They can get real successful in building towers of Babel and many different things. Professionals at it. We get real efficient at messing up our lives with no direction. But for those that have left the net and want to become successful in the life of Christ, God will help you. Prevail. I want to learn to prevail. Now that word I can do, that word I can do means, it's a Greek word meaning isku, okay? And if you use that word isku, you can spell it I-S-C-H-U-O. It means force. I can force. I can prevail. I can do. Or I can be whole. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Have you ever believed in something so much that you just knew it was the right thing you could force your way through? You could push your way through that you're so certain in it that you can force it and make it happen. You ever heard of make it happen people? No matter how rough it gets, that person can make it happen. Well, that's a promise from God. And he says, listen, Paul said, listen, I'm a make it happen person. Or I can force anything through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. Somebody say, through. I can force through. Do you know in life you're going to have some opposition? You're going to have some things. You're going to have some difficulty standing in front of you. Do you know there's an adversary out there, a devil? And the devil means get in your way, resist you. The devil's there to resist you and to give you opposition. That's what life is. Sometimes opposition. But you need the anointing of the Holy Ghost to push through. Don't you know the place where God wants you to go, the devil doesn't want you to go there, that you've got to go through some stuff to get there? Force through. Devil doesn't want it to happen. Guess what? And just because you want it to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen. You've got to have the anointing that Paul had. He said, I can force through anything. Paul had some resistance in his ministry, but he said, I can force through it. That thing that you desire, yeah, you want it, but the devil doesn't want you to have that. He's there to be your adversary, to oppose you and to resist you. But you need an anointing from the Holy Ghost to push through anyhow. Hallelujah. It's people that learn to push through that get what they want from God. Paul says, I can do anything spirit. I got a spiritually can do anything forceful spirit, and I can get through. Now, we need to break down that word through a little bit. See, we heard this. I heard this word. Now, this word through means it says give yourself wholly to. What? When you look at that word through, it means to give yourself wholly to. Why would that be in there? Why would that meaning be in there? It says give yourself wholly to or through. And some of you that hear the word of the Lord, you might shout, but another meaning of that word, it means a relation of rest. That word through also means a relation of rest. Through. You can do all things through Christ when you are through with everything and everybody else, including yourself. Somebody say, I can get through when I get through. That's why Paul said, look, having done all to stand, stand. See, but there are certain people that aren't through with some stuff. See, there are some people that haven't realized. See, they still got the net in their hand. They're not through with it yet. You got to get to the point to where that God is your only source, and that if you're going to get through that thing, it's going to be in Christ alone will I glory. Not in my strength, but in the strength of God I can do this. Through. You got to have I'm through with this mentality. I mean, you got to completely rely upon Jesus Christ and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Give in wholly to, not to failure, but to Jesus. See, that's the difference. See, a lot of saints, they say, I'm through with it. No, you're just through. You're just giving up to the devil. But listen, when you get to a point, you need to give it up to Jesus. To be holy. What do you mean? To be totally and holy. It's the W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, through. It's completely saturated. Only the anointing will break through. Only the anointing will break through. What do you mean, Brother Ron? What do you mean? Paul said, listen, I can prevail. I can be a prevailing person. I can prevail in the spirit. I can force things through. I can get through by resting in the Holy Ghost and relying on the power of God. There's a whole lot more to that scripture than what people really pick up. Listen, when God gets through to you, you will be able to get through anything. So you got to realize where the battle is. When God gets through to you, you can get through anything. See, God's trying to get through to you. See, we're just thinking, if I can just get through the situation. No, if God can get totally through to you, you can get through anything. But there are a lot of people and there are a lot of situations, you know what? God hadn't gotten through. God hadn't gotten through anything. You know, we are so hard, we're so callous, we habitually do things. You know, we've been there before, we got the been there, done that mentality, and God's trying to say, no, I need to get through to you. When God can get through to you, I mean, there'll be a breakthrough, there'll be an anointing, there'll be a revelation on your life. You'll be able to get through anything. Now listen, that thing that Paul was saying, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, those were people that followed Jesus and put down their net. People that get rid of their net and they're living for Jesus. I mean, that's what God demands of the body of Christ today, and that's what we should be living in. That's what we should be walking in. We have a mindset that we live for Christ Jesus. We live for the Lord. We live to be a witness to somebody else and to make somebody else's life better. Well, what about my net? Don't worry about it. He'll give you an anointing that you're able to get through anything. You don't need a net. You're going to go through some situations. You're not going to have enough money to get through it. But you've got an anointing that'll get you through. Listen, God only gets through what you wholly give to Him. God will only get through what you wholly offer up to Him. We can do all things through Christ. Paul is saying, I can do all things in this supernatural rest. Here he is on this rest again. Notice that the word through meant to rest in relation to rest. The word through means in relation to rest. And that word, I can do, it means I have power. I have power, supernatural power. You're going to have to believe in power. Even though you might be flowing in a little bit of it right now. But you're going to have to believe that there is a God. And that God is not a man that he should lie. But that there is supernatural power. But that power will only manifest itself in things that you are through with. If God can get through to you, he'll get through you. The people that God lets his power flow through are the people he's gotten through to them. They've gone through some things. And God's gotten through to them. Somebody say strengthened. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, first of all, you got to have a life. That's a big thing, isn't it? Being able to do all things. I can do all things, but you got to make sure you just don't do all things. See, these are people that have left their net. See, a lot of people want to take that power, that force, that anointing, that great thing to make their boat float and to make their net catch. He wasn't talking about your net when he was talking about all things. He's got that taken care of. And see, the problem with America, problem with our mentality, and the problem with it is we are so focused on us and what we can gain and what we can do. Our empowerment been going on forever. But God wants to tell us there is a God someplace. You don't have to get in the rat race. You can trust in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Strength. So first of all, life. You need to find out what your life is. Find out what your life is, what you're living for. Find out what you're willing to die for. And then when you find out what your life is all about, you let God get through to you so that you are able to accomplish those things. God's trying to get through to us. I mean, we've been crying and pleading and begging God and going through all these chains. God said, let me get through to you. Let me find a way to make this thing work. Where is this power? Where is this grace? Where is this anointing? Where is this stuff that he's been talking about? But God's been saying, I need to be able to get through to some people. There's some people I can't trust with an anointing of the Holy Ghost. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And that word Christ means the anointing. There is an anointing available out there that you can do anything with. No limits. But that kind of anointing will come to people that have left their net. That's why they asked the boy, he said, listen, silver and gold I have none, but that I do have, I give it unto you. Am I saying you're going to be broke, poor? No, I'm not saying that. For the Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. But the true riches is in the power of the Holy Ghost that's inside of you that allows you to get your life through. What are you wasting your time mending nets for? Look at what you're doing. I mean, if you were to die today, you would forget about the life you lived yesterday. Yeah, it'd be all over. But some of you people are missing out on the life and the power and the ability you have today. Waiting on money. So-called success. To be what Christ said he would make you. You better get an anointing and get through it. Two important things. Get rid of your net. The net has got to go. First thing. Give me your net. Next thing, follow me. And I'll make you what I want you to be. And that's what life is all about. We're about to get out of here. Your net's got to go. I want you to talk to your net right now. I want you to think about your net. Everybody visualize your net right now. You know what your net is. And I want you to look at that net and call it for what it is. And let that net, somebody say, net, what can you do for me? No, seriously, talk to your net. Think about your source. Think about your source and say, net, what can you do for me? Now, I want you also to ask that net, what have you done for me lately? Ask it again. Now, I want you to look to Jesus if you really believe he's there. I want you to look to Jesus and I want you to say, Jesus, what can you do for me? Ask him again. Jesus, what can you do for me? And then ask him, what have you done for me lately? Now, if he's going to do it for you, you've got to think about some things. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. People are not living just to make it rich, but people are living to affect somebody else's life. It says, look, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is where your heart will be also. For the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Well, I tell you what, you can put that the same way with the net. The net could represent. None of y'all are just doing your jobs because you just enjoy doing them. You expect to get paid. No, you wouldn't go on vacation. I mean, you go to vacation, it'd be vacation time, and you'd just be looking forward to go to work. You should enjoy your job. You don't even lie to yourself. You're in that job because you want to get a paycheck. You want a paycheck. And if you don't think you want a paycheck, I want you to work for a month and not get anything. But if it didn't really matter, you do what you do because you're expecting to get something from it. Many people keep looking to that source. They keep looking to that source. They kept looking to that supply. We can learn to get over. And we can learn to get through. Expecting to do something. But you are not to lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth. But in the spiritual realm, you cannot serve God and serve mammon. The anointing should be your total supply. See, I'm tired of Jesus getting second rates. And we just think we give God a little 10%, you know, that he's happy. I need my job and so does God. He needs my 10%. Some people think that way. Listen, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Read that again. Take no thought for your life. Anybody been thinking about their stuff lately? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Nor yet for your body, what we shall put on. Is your life not more than meat and your body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which one of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Stand up. Now I want you to think about growing and grow. No, I want you to think about it real big. I want you to work. Come on, think about it. No, forget your stature. Just look at your fingernails and think about your fingernails growing. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Sit down. I tell you what, the other issue, you know what that's saying? You might not be as smart as you think you are. And we over here think it's just mind over matter, and we mix even our faith in on that and think that, hey, you can do anything you put your mind to. You can do anything. You just put your, man, if I just work this out, it's me. If I can just work this out, let me think this thing through, I can really make it happen. You're not allowed to think about it. Let me just work it through. Why take ye thought for raiment? You're not even allowed to think about your clothes. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto thee that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like any of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Expense pay. Life. But no moonlighting. Well, what's moonlighting? Trying to take care of yourself. Thinking things through yourself. trying to work it all out, taking a part-time job, trying to help God out. No part-time jobs. Why does it say, O ye of little faith? What do you mean, O ye of little faith? Am I saying you don't need to walk? You don't need to work here? You need to work. You need to work to be a witness. He said, O ye of little faith, lacking in confidence. That's what he said to them. He said, listen, when you start thinking about these things, you have no confidence in God. When you're scratching and clawing and worrying and trying to figure it out and do all this other stuff, guess what? You have no confidence in God. When you're still dragging your net around, you have no confidence in God. God is not a man that he should lie. So step out with confidence. I'm stepping out in confidence. I'm stepping out in confidence doing what God told me to do. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whither shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Well, what do they mean, Gentiles? What do they mean, what is a Gentile? I mean, what's the difference between a Gentile and a Jew? No covenant. After all those things are the people that don't have any covenant with God do. People that think that way are the people that have no confidence or faith in the covenant of God. You've got a covenant with God. He said, listen, come after me. I'll make you fishers of men, and I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. I'll take care of you. You do what I tell you to do, and I'll bless you. I'll see you through. I won't let you down. He said, listen, I'll take care of my people. I'll be a blessing to those that cut covenant with me. Well, if you're a covenant breaker, go on. You better take about 4 or 5 part-time jobs. But if you keep a covenant with God and you start to walk and you're truly following him, because it's going to take everything to follow Jesus. It's going to take everything you got to follow Jesus. It's not a game, it's an adventure. He said, after all these things do the Gentiles think, people that have no covenant with God. Do you know you have a covenant with God? Do you know you have a covenant with God? See, there are certain Christians that are acting the same ways that the children of Abraham tried to do a long time ago. They thought as long as they were somewhat circumcised in the flesh, that everything was okay. It said that those are not the children which are the children after the flesh, but those that are after the Spirit, after the covenant. Those are the children that are of faith. Those that are of faith are the true children of Abraham. Those that have confidence in God. Confidence to do what he says to do. Confidence to say, no greater love in any man than he laid down his life for a friend. Somebody say, love.
Love.
Faith worketh by love. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. I want you to know this morning, some of you people that need some stuff, I need some things, you need some things, I'm here to tell you, God knows exactly what you need. And don't you dare call him a liar. God knows what you need. God knows exactly what you need. You need to confess that. I mean, you're not in that thing by yourself. He knows what you need. God knows what you need. He is there. You have a covenant and he knows exactly what he needs. But if he can get this anointing to you, he'll get what you need through to you. He knows what you need, but can you let him get it through to you? He knows exactly how much money you need to get in your apartment. He knows exactly what you need to get your house paid off. He knows exactly what you need to get that car caught up. He knows exactly what you need to get that job. He knows exactly what you need. Let it come to you, but can it get through to you? There's a lot of people that money's to them, but they can't get it through them. Money came to you. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. Someone say, seek it. Look. Look. That's all he's talking about. Look. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. That's what it's all about. Seeking God.
Amen.
That's your covenant. Amen. To love the Lord your God. To seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. So we say, what things? All the things that he knows you need.
Amen.
God says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to bless you. Not to harm you. I have not seen nor ear heard the good that the Lord has in store for them. He's already got it thought out. God's thought about it. He knows exactly what I need. And if I can focus on him, he'll get it to me. Therefore, what is it there for? Say, I've got a covenant. I believe God. I trust in God. Well, if you trust in God and you believe in God, then you should be able to obey God. Take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Why don't you stand up and pray in the Holy Ghost? Did this help anybody this morning? Start saying, no more fear. No more fear. No more fear.